Whoops. I went too far.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I don't have a mouth. I'm going, oh.
There you go. We are welcome to worship right now.
Yeah.
We want the firm foundation there at the beginning.
Can we, are we good to go?
I think so.
Do we have to post a new link?
We did.
Oh. Show off. Firm Foundation is the first one. I'm used to a mouse.
Okay.
You did that one.
I know.
Why don't you do the pre-slide loop until we're singing?
Because it's about 10:30.
Hey, I wonder what song is coming first.
I don't know. I have no idea.
We'll find out. Because it's 10:29, and okay. We don't want to fight it when someone's up there.
Yeah, that's fair.
David knows the stuff.
You should back up the recording 4 seconds.
Have fun with that.
Oh, that's easy.
I do have a few slides, just so you guys know, but they should be pretty easy to follow.
Okay.
Yep. Say, where's my slide? Then we'll know.
Most of them are all at the latter half of my screen.
Can we actually hook up the clicker out here?
I mean, we could, but it's fine.
Okay. Okay, so for the breathing harmony stuff.
Although, technically, if they're linked, controlled.
I don't think they're linked. Last time it didn't work, so we just...
Well, there's follow and there's control. If it's control, I can...
Hey, that's smart. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll be fine.
You guys just
have to learn more, and then give you about 2 or 3 seconds.
So, David, since each one of the songs is technically a video... when it gets to the end of the video, just give them 2 or 3 seconds and move on to the next one.
Give me a chance to breathe a little.
Yeah, all right, I can do that.
Otherwise, it'll just go boof right into the next one. Oh, if you really wanted to, you could put like a 5-second slide delay in there.
And then we're ready.
If you wanted to be really fancy.
As soon as you're ready, I think.
Is it autoplay when you go to the next?
It'll start the next video as soon as you click forward to it, but it won't start the next video until.
Oh, okay. Okay, so. Cool.
This is interesting, guys. I don't advance it. So,
you're okay. David. All
right, you good to...
We're good.
Party started?
I think so.
Yeah. Good. You just want me to jump right into it?
Yeah, jump right in, and the welcome is after the first song.
Got it. Sir.
And I'll come up and do that. Don's going to speak, too.
Sounds like a delay.
Ooh, it's loud. Good morning, everybody. This is awesome.
Drop his mic here.
All right, well... Let's get started. We got kind of an interesting treat for singing this.
Don't want to drop
it
too
much. Goes. I'm ready when you guys are back there.
You might be using 3.
Yeah, go ahead, David.
I don't have to advance anything.
Jesus, you're my firm foundation. Yeah, that's a nice line, isn't it? We can go home.
I can take a nap.
Yeah.
I have a future. God has a plan for me. I'm beside you, Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Mighty in power, God has a dream of this unsure, of this unsure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation.
I know I'll stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I hope in your holy word. I hope in your holy word.
You're my firm foundation,
I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. My hope in your holy word. My hope in your holy word.
All right.
Nope. Good job.
I wanted the welcome sign.
Welcome sign, yes.
You stopped it.
Good morning. We want to welcome you to worship this morning. We are trying something a little different this week. We realized last week on the live stream, the only voice they could hear was Michael, and Michael sings pretty well. But it's a little difficult sometimes to only hear one voice when you're worshiping at home. And so, after talking to the elders and several others, we decided to go ahead and give having the praise and harmony incorporated into our singing this morning. It'll be a little difficult and a little different for our song leader. And if it doesn't work, then we'll revise as we go. That said, we want to welcome you this morning and want to thank you for bearing with us as we try new and different things.
Very different.
This is our second week of outdoor service, and last week went really well, I felt. I was really pleased to see everyone that was here and to have the opportunity to worship with you in person. We want to encourage you to continue to be back for future services outdoors, but we also want to let you know that we have a plan for moving back into the building. And this morning, Don is actually going to share some of that plan with you, talk about some of the guidelines that we have coming up, and encourage us to consider our own personal accountability that we have towards one another as we plan to move back into the building. And so I'm going to pass things off to Don, who's going to use the mic on the microphone stand, because we were informed we should probably consider changing out mics as we go. So, Don.
Oh, yeah, cool, man. I didn't think about that.
Is that mic on?
It's not on.
Try that one.
He's got it muted. It must be mute. Try it now.
Yes.
Hey.
Okay, now it's us. But let me say it really is good to see you. We appreciate everybody following the guidelines so well last week, and that's why we can do it again this week. And so we just want to remind everybody, 6 feet apart,
six feet apart,
masks on. We want to be a blessing to the community, not be a problem for our community. If you need to go into the bathroom, one at a time, knock on the door, make sure no one else is in there. Wear your masks in the building. And I also want to say that next week, our plan is to be here in the parking lot again and to be streaming next Sunday. The following Sunday, a lot of work is going into having us move back into the building. And that's what we're planning to do. But it is going to be revised. It's going to be different than we've done it before. There's going to be specific places where you can sit, and there's going to be specific places where you can't sit. And we really do ask everybody to honor that. We'll have ushers that will show you where and how to be seated. But be sure and bring your masks, or if you don't have them, we'll have some at the door. We'll have hand sanitizers. And we're going to follow all the guidelines for getting back in the building in 2 weeks. But that is our plan. We'll have a list of the guidelines that we'll need to follow in the bulletin, and we'll send it out on email next week so that everybody knows how we can worship inside and do it effectively and also do it safely. We want to be safe for everybody. So be praying for that. Be praying for that. And then also, and we'll talk about this more next week and the following week, in 2 weeks we hope to be restarting our small group ministries. And some of those will be in people's houses. Some of those will be in the building. Some of those will still be online. Oh, I should also mention, when we're back in the building in 2 weeks, we will still stream for people who are high risk and say, hey, I'm not working. We'll still be able to pick it up. So keep praying. That's what we really need. Be praying so we can do this and do it right. And God will be blessed and Jesus will be uplifted in it all. But thank you again for your compliance last week and this morning. And keep that in the top of your head that even when we're done with worship, be sure and follow the guidelines as well as you can. Anything else I forgot?
Thank you, Don. I'm going to take my mask off to talk in the microphone.
We want to remind you, if you have young kids with you, if they need to use the restroom, please make sure you accompany them to the restrooms in the building. It's a temptation to run through the building and find the little nooks and crannies that exist in there. I know because my own kids do it. And so I'll be waiting for Micah to inevitably during service come and need to use the bathroom, and I'll escort him to the bathroom. If you need to use the bathrooms, they are available in the lobby of the church building, and so you'll walk through the auditorium to get there. Oh, the fellowship hall. Sorry, not in the lobby, in the fellowship hall. See, I would have made a mistake, and I would have taken Micah down to the lobby.
Interesting.
We also want to let you know that if you are in your car, I'm trying to be loud now, and you want to tune to the radio station, but you don't know what radio station to tune to, it's 88.5. the FM dial. I don't know if I have to specify that. People have AM radio in parts. That doesn't matter.
Does.
We're worshiping this morning, and we are worshiping together. Jesse's going to come back up here in just a second and lead us in worship. Kyle is going to be bringing us a sermon today, and I'm excited and looking forward to worshiping with you. Let's pray at this time. Our Father in heaven, you are good, and you are faithful, and regardless of circumstances, that remains true. And we can affirm that, and we can worship you, and we can find ourselves filled with joy that we call you Father, that we call you King, that we call you Lord, that we call you our friend. And God, we ask this morning that you lift our hearts in worship, that you make your spirit present among us in a way that is real and tangible to us, that we can worship together in spirit and in truth. Father, I pray this morning that you guide our hearts. I pray that you help us to hear the message that's being shared so that we can go out into the world and serve you by serving our fellow human beings. It's all this that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to draw on these ones probably, but I'll hear what it sounds like first.
On high, every mountain stream. But my one request, Lord, my only need, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me.
And reign in your power over all my sins. My darkest hour,
you are the Lord of all I am. So won't
you reign in me again
over
every thought, over every word.
May my life
record the beauty of my Lord.
You need more
to me than any earthly thing.
So
won't you reign in me again,
Lord,
reign in me. Reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour,
you are
the Lord of all I am.
So won't
you reign in me again. Reign in me, reign in your power, over all my dreams in my darkest hour.
You
are the world of all I am.
So
won't you reign in me again?
So won't
you reign in me again? So won't you reign in me again?
Don't do it yet.
Hey, it's always nice to have a professional singer singing in the background, and I'm definitely not a professional singer, so appreciate you all helping me out here. That also is not the song I was expecting. So, what's the next one, guys? Go ahead, go to it. We'll roll with the punches here. On description, two marvelous forward, two
wonderful for all. Nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description.
Majesty enthroned
above. I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. God to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. To whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
I can't get the high. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. I'll sing the bass part. All right. Let's see if there's another. Messiah, Redeemer, and friend,
you're my Prince
of Peace, and I will live my life for you. My Prince of Peace, and I will reign my life for you.
Hey, y'all sound great this morning. Nice.
Good dream.
Yep.
Scripture. Good morning. I have the scripture reading, 1 Peter 4:7-11. The end of all things is near, therefore be a sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving. By the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and domination forever and ever. and God bless the reading of the word. Good morning, everyone. I really do appreciate seeing all of you. I know this is, you know, not necessarily ideal, but it's so nice to be able to gather together.
So what's it like to?
We can be thankful for so much, right? We can, instead of focusing on the negative, we can be thankful that it's sunny outside, that the weather's nice, and that we are able to see one another today. Now, I know that we've all been frustrated by the effects of the coronavirus on our lives and on our churches and on our world in general, children in school, and most of us are probably sick of talking about it. But I want to encourage you all to consider others and what's important. We can continue to do that. I mean, we cannot let something like this become divisive. It's just not worth it. The kingdom is still growing. If we really focus, if we look at what's going on in our world, the kingdom is still growing. And so as we continue to go through these kind of growing pains and transition, let's continue to remember to spur one another on to love and to good deeds. So no matter how we feel about this situation, I think it's important that we don't ignore the effects that all of this are having on us, because to do so would be to bury our heads in the sand. So I want to offer a challenge to all of us today. And I want us to really think about the question, reflect on the questions. How has this season affected your spiritual growth? And has it possibly caused you to become comfortable in certain ways, maybe too comfortable? You know, I think this situation has made it abundantly clear that we live in a world of options, sometimes too many options. You know, there's so many churches to choose from. Now we can sit at home in our pajamas and watch any congregation we want. We can choose what time or even what day we watch service or participate in worship. We can choose exactly what programs we're looking for in a church, and we can choose which programs we want to be involved in and which we don't. We live in a world of options. And in a lot of ways, the church in America has kind of been commercialized. In our series of being bold, we want to emphasize that following Jesus takes courage and it takes sacrifice, and sometimes even our own churches don't always encourage that. We're called to live outside of our comfort zones. We're called to act and to speak and to live in ways that denounce a spirit of fear or comfortability and embrace the spirit that God has given us, as Chris talked about last week. So today I want us to consider what it looks like to be bold in service. And I honestly hope that I have something challenging to say to you. I really feel like part of the job of any preacher is to offer something that could convict or could challenge us to grow. And so I hope that I can do that today, not in a way that creates guilt or shame or anything like that, but challenge and convincing. Lately, I've felt more and more of just the importance of our role of being active in our churches and in our communities, especially in a time where it feels like we just can't do anything. But I want us to be looking around to what God is doing for his kingdom and how we can be involved in that and how he calls us to be co-workers alongside him. The question is, this morning, are we willing to be bold and to answer this call? So I want to talk about service, and I want to just briefly start off by saying why. Why are we talking about service? Why do we serve? And I think the Sunday school answer, the easy answer, would be because God wants us to, or because it's good to help others. And while those things are true, I think the more mature answer is that serving brings us into participation with the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ. Serving others is an act of witnessing others to the kingdom of God. And so it's also vital for our individual growth. It's vital to the life of the church, for the growth of the church, and it's vital to our community. I want to share just briefly a story that we had the opportunity to kind of witness some of this during our city service 2 weeks ago that the teens did. I met a woman on Facebook. Her name's Bree. That's all I'll tell you. That's all you need to know. But found out that she needed a porch rebuilt in her front, the front of her house, and she couldn't really afford it. And she was kind of asking on Facebook for, you know, help with contractors and stuff. And so I told her, we'll do it for you, you know. And I'm not a builder, so I got Corey to help me. You know, I'm a good handyman, or here's your wrench or your drill. So I got him to help. And so we spent like 2.5 days at her house building this porch, but also clearing out a lot of the vines that were growing over her neighbor's fence into her yard and taking over. And so we did all this. And by the end of it, I got a letter from her. And she said that, you know, not only did we, you know, clear her yard with over this nice porch, what she really cared about was that we gave her hope. And I believe that she recognized in all of us that we weren't just doing this because it's nice to help other people. We were doing this because we cared about her and because we wanted to serve our God. And she really got that. But she understood the deeper meaning. You know, we are commanded to serve one another, to serve outsiders, to serve those in need. And so there is a sense of obligation, but I believe it goes deeper than that. So I want us to go from doing good things for Jesus, service of doing good things for Jesus, or serving helping others, to service as participation in Christ in a way that's self-giving. Since that airplane flew up at overhead, I'm going to say that again. Service is participation in Christ in a way that is self-giving. And it can look like a lot of things. It can look like possibly taking up a formal role or ministry. It can look like regularly serving in one or more ministries. It can look like seeking opportunities to help others, to help our neighbors, or going out of our way to improve someone's life. And it really is a mark of a true Christian, is one who's actively serving in the body. And true service requires sacrifice. It causes us to give up our time, our talents, our energy, our agendas, so that we can help other people. Sometimes I think we look for small or convenient ways to serve. You know, serving when it's conveniently timed, serving when I'm approached rather than taking the initiative to find a way to serve, or maybe choosing service opportunities that are interesting to me instead of challenging. So what I want us to realize this morning is that small sacrifice leads to small service, but bold service leads to growth for you as an individual, for the church, for the kingdom. So this brings us to our passage for reflection today. I chose this passage in 1 Peter 4 because I believe it speaks to several aspects of things that are important when it comes to service. There's 5 things that I want to work through briefly this morning. The first is urgency. The second is motivation. The third is attitude. The fourth is giftedness. And the last one is outcome. Urgency, motivation, attitude, giftedness, and outcome. That's 5. All of these things contribute to what it means to, or what it looks like to be bold in our service. Our service. I'm going to read through, if I can, 1 Peter 4 again for us. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides,
so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So the first, a sense of urgency. Many times in Scripture we're given this sense of urgency through phrases like the end of all things. The end of all things is near. Stay alert. Be in readiness. We read things like this all over the New Testament and Old. And they're not meant to give us a spirit of fear. We're not supposed to be always looking over our shoulder. But we should, and we shouldn't be motivated by fearful urgency. Fearful urgency leads to bad decisions. We should be motivated by a recognition that the harvest is coming. That's what he means by that. Or other writers, when they say, the end of all things is near, that the harvest is coming. A sense of urgency and service teaches us to be focused on God and others and not ourselves, to put others above ourselves. And without this sense of urgency when it comes to service, our service often becomes self-focused and infrequent. When we don't have a sense of urgency, it's kind of that, I'll get to it later, kind of a thing. Our basic agenda often is to avoid pain or vulnerability or inconvenience. And a lot of times, service brings those things into our lives.
I just added
vulnerability or inconvenience. But when we serve with urgency, we're willing to put the needs of others above ourselves and do it soon rather than later. Urgency encourages us to get out there and to make the most of the opportunities that are before us so that we can bless others, because we recognize that those opportunities are running out. When we serve with urgency, our service becomes a catalyst for opportunities for others to meet Jesus. The second is that we are motivated by love. That we're called to love deeply, and that love covers over a multitude of sins. I love that verse, and I honestly don't even know what that means. That love covers a multitude of sins. But I believe it's very beautiful. So once we're on our feet and we have a sense of urgency in serving, we need to be reminded of what our motivations are to serve. And these can come in a lot of different forms. They can, sometimes we serve because we want to remove guilt. We feel guilty, so we're going to help someone else. Maybe we want to fix someone's situation. Maybe we're serving because we want to honestly just make ourselves feel a little better. Maybe we're serving out of a sense of obligation. That's the primary motivation. And there's lots of others. And some of these are positive, some of them are negative. You know, fixing someone's situation as a motivation is good, but it often elevates the one who is serving above the one being served. I can fix your situation, I'm going to come in, make your life better, and then I'm out. It elevates us above the one being served. Service to make ourselves feel better is not really service at all. Scripture says that above all, we should love each other, because love covers a multitude of sins. Many places in Scripture we're reminded that love is the primary motivation for service. We're even told that God's redemptive work in the world was motivated by love, John 3:16. Peter is told that his love for Jesus should motivate him to serve the church, John 21. Serving in love puts the other above ourselves. Serving in love seeks long-term and deeper service to others. And we need to question our motives, because our motives determine the result of our service. The third key is that we need to be stewards of the gifts that we have received. And this speaks to our attitude towards service. We often, as I've mentioned, view service as an obligation or a command, which it is. We are obligated to serve. But we often leave out this key part of stewardship. Peter tells us that we are to serve as faithful stewards of God's grace. So obligatory service says, I have to serve you. I'm commanded to serve you. Stewardship says, because of God's grace, I am able to serve you. Stewardship means that God has given all of us a unique ability to make a difference in the kingdom. God has entrusted us with abilities and talents that they may be used to help others and encourage one another. So stewardship takes us from I must to God has given me the ability and responsibility to serve. The fourth talks about giftedness. Peter follows up with a short list in this passage, and we can look other places for examples of giftedness. But he follows up with two or three examples of what it looks like to be gifted and how that relates to service. It's not an exhaustive list. Again, here he only has two or three. But his main point is, if you have been given a gift of service, use it. And I want you to notice two things here in these verses. First is that Peter says, if anyone. Now, it's very clear to know that this is not a loophole situation. It's not an opportunity to say, I don't have any gifts, or I don't have that gift, so I can't really serve, or at least not very much. Peter's point is not if you have the gift, he's making the point about when you should use it. The second thing we should notice is that the service he's talking about here, or the gifts he's talking about, he's describing in pretty bold ways. I actually never really noticed this before. You know, if your gift is speaking, then do so as if they are the very words of God. That's bold, to speak as if you're speaking the words of God. That takes responsibility. That takes wisdom. If you're serving as with the strength of God, that's bold. It's not my strength. I'm serving as if the strength has been given to me by God. And we understand that God's gifted us to serve, and you know, when we understand that, it frees us to serve with boldness, because it's not just our own ability. It's what God has instilled in us. Are you a teacher? Some of you parents are now. Teach us as though you are opening us, others, to the wisdom of God. Do you like to help out in worship in various ways, whether you're a parking lot attendant or leading worship or anything like that? When you are serving in that capacity, do so as if you're ushering people into the very throne room of God, because you are. If you're at the grocery store, pay for someone's groceries, help them carry them out to their car, or take their cart back when they're done. There's lots of different ways that you can create opportunities and to act in boldness to serve other people, to go the extra mile, and to be looking for those opportunities to use your gifts. Finally, the last thing I want to focus on is the outcome. What's the result of our service? What should our end goal be? And I think there's really two. There's one that's explicitly mentioned here, but the other one is kind of like a secondary result that comes from when our service is done in a way that honors God. So we have to consider the results that we want in our service. And it's not to glorify ourselves, it's to glorify God. Glory is always created, it's always an outcome of service, because when we serve people, it's an honorable thing. When we help others, it's just a natural occurrence. The question is whether we're going to place ourselves on that pedestal to receive the honor, or we're going to place God there to receive the honor. And, you know, one way that I've really seen this happening is often, at least in my life, sometimes that means I need to name it. I need to name what's happening here when I'm serving someone else or when I'm being served. We have to have the courage to say, sometimes, I did this, or I'm doing this because I love you and I love the Lord. Sometimes we have to name why we are serving so that they understand that God is receiving the glory, not us. It's not about us. You know, I'm not serving to, even necessarily fix all your problems, because I can't. I'm serving
out of love and to glorify God. And, you know, it's definitely easy to say nothing. It's certainly less awkward at times. But the honor always stops at us when we don't give the glory to God. Really, when we fail to glorify God in our service, we rob others of an opportunity to connect the goodness that was done with God who is good. And that's kind of the secondary result here. Our first, our primary outcome should be to honor God, to glorify God. And the secondary outcome is that when we serve people, it is an opportunity for them to witness the kingdom of heaven, for them to know who God is in and through us. It's not about our goodness, it's about God's goodness. So if our motivation is service and love for God and others, then our end goal should be that others may praise God and not us. So I want to kind of wrap things up quickly. You know, you might ask, how can I serve if we aren't eating normally? How can I serve if my normal ministry is temporarily shut down? My encouragement for you this morning is to consider what bold service looks like. Urgency, motivated by love, an attitude of service. Our stewardship, exercising our giftedness, all resulting in the glory given to God. And sometimes we need to think creatively and boldly about what that looks like. You know, service has not ended just because our worship times look different. There are so many opportunities to serve other people right now. And sometimes we just need to think creatively and have the courage to get out on our feet and go do it. So we need to think creatively, we need to realize that the opportunities are endless, and we need to have a spirit of courage that God has given to us. And let me close by saying this. You know, we haven't had a formal invitation like we normally would when we're meeting in the building. You know, we do think it's important to offer an invitation to remind you that we have a responsibility to, you know, answer the call and to act upon our hearts if they are convicted. But I want to leave you with this. I'd like you to consider every Sunday an invitation to confession, repentance, growth, worship, good news sharing, and an increased desire to serve. Every day, every time we meet together, consider that an invitation to all of us towards growth. For acting boldly in our service. And may we be bold in our service always. Let me pray briefly. God, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to meet together. May we be inspired and encouraged to find opportunities to share the good news in our lives, in our works, in our service with others, God. And give us the courage that we need to step out in faith to do that. To face rejection if need be, but to do so in a way that will really touch people's lives, that they may see you and give you the glory. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
All right, this will be a song before communion, so let's start preparing our hearts and our minds.
Hit continue recording.
Your gifts are your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am crying with my cup, you are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name.
Joining in a celebration that has been going on for nearly 2,000 years, probably 1,980 years at least. I'd like for us to emphasize the time that has gone past this. And to do this, I will first call a description of the time. And then I want to read from writings by Justin Martyr, who wrote somewhere about 160 AD about what the Christians did then. The Apostle Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took a cup of the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new agreement between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink of it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the message of the Lord's death until he comes again." Justin Martyr was born somewhere after 100 AD. He was martyred for his faith in 165 AD. He realized that much of the persecution of the Christians resulted from false rumors about Christians. He felt that if the government knew the truth, it might halt its savage persecution. So at the risk of his own life, Justin penned an apology, addressing it to the emperor at that time, Antoninus Pius. Apart from the inspired New Testament writings, Justin's first apology is perhaps the single most valuable work of early Christianity. It furnishes detailed descriptions of church services, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. These descriptions are among the earliest we have. The value of this apology is enhanced of a fact that it was not written by some church father who was trying to tell the church what to teach or how to conduct its worship service. Instead, it was simply written by an evangelist explaining to the Romans what Christians believed and how they conducted their meetings. Now, as I read from Justin Martyr, remember when he refers to the presence, to the president, he is probably referring to an elder or a bishop. And when he refers to bread and wine and water, remember that grape juice was not available in those days year-round. Therefore, they used wine mixed with water. From Justin Martyr. And on the day called Sunday, all who live in cities are in the country gathered together to one place. And the memoirs of the apostles or the writings of the prophets are read as long as time permits. Then, when the reading has ceased, the president verbally instructs and exhorts the imitation of these good things. Then we all rise together and pray. And as we have said before, when our prayer is ended, bread and wine and water are brought. And the president, in like manner, offers prayers and thanksgiving according to his ability. And the people assent, saying, Amen. And there is a distribution to each and a participation of that over which thanks have been given. And to those who are absent, a portion is sent by the deacons. And they who are well-to-do and willing give what each thinks fit, and what is collected is deposited with the president, who succors the orphans and widows, and those who through sickness or any other cause are in want, and those who are in bonds, and the strangers sojourning among us, and in a word, takes care of all who are in need. So would you take your cup and bread, and this right now, I will pray for the bread. Our Lord and Father, we remember that this small wafer reminds us of Jesus' body, the body that he came to this lowly, dreary, dusty earth to live and die for us. We say thank you as we partake of this bread. And for the cup, our Father, we cannot understand how you could give your Son to the horrible death that he died. But we do understand that this juice reminds us of his blood. And blood was the confirming thing for the new agreement. This agreement in which you have said, you will remember our sins no more. Let us take of the cup.
Is he going to show you what they're giving?
Yeah, no. With these words, we say thank you. For God, we say that we remember Jesus, and we are encouraged to rise up to be of service.
Amen. Just skip that slide.
severe. As we close out our service this morning, I want to remind you we have one more week of outdoor service, and then the plan is for us to be indoors. Also want to remind you that there are opportunities for you to give. If you are wanting to make a contribution this morning, there is a mail slot on the side of the building, and if you would like to slide a contribution through there, you're welcome to do so. Of course, we've mentioned before that there are other ways that you can contribute. An online giving option. We also have ways for you to give by mail and other things like that. I want to read to you a doxology from the Book of Romans, the closing of the Book of Romans. And this is our closing prayer today. This is also encouragement to us to remember that as we go to serve those in our community, as Kyle's encouraged us, as we go to serve one another, as we go to serve our God, that the strength that we have to do that doesn't come from us. It comes from Him. I want you to hear Paul's words, and these are a prayer, I think, for us to close with this morning. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God by glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go serve God's kingdom this world, this week, by serving those in this world. Love you all, and look forward.
Maybe the wind hit the button.
Oh, it is on a timer. You're right.
Yep.
It is on a timer. Look at that.
Yep. Yeah, 20 seconds timer. Not your fault.
No, do not auto advance every 10 seconds.
Where'd that come from?
Yeah.
The good one switch
had a timer. Yeah, it had a timer on it.
And that did us in.
Had a 10 second timer and auto advanced.
What did?
The slide that talks about giving.
Who put it in the wrong place?
We jump back.
We jump back, yeah.
Jump back.
test it out.
Hello.
Oh,
how you been?
We have,
hi, how are you?
Plans
you doing well? Seems like you need to go to that college.
Yeah, I have to go back.
See you, buddy.